You ever feel like you need a reset? You ever feel like, you know, things have been kind of been going a little rough, and it'd be great just to push that game, reset one time, and start all over again. Get rid of the last 2015 and say, okay, it's 2016. Let's just start all over. Well, I think that's part of the reason the Lord gives us a new day every morning. Part of the reason He gives us a new year every year. A chance to get started, a new jump start on the new year. And a reset. Now, when some of us make mistakes, we notice it, and maybe a couple of people close to us. But when some people make mistakes, the whole world notices. Anybody catch this event here a couple of weeks ago? And the winner is... Oh, no, that's not the winner. That was the Miss Universe competition where Steve Harvey named the wrong winner and they had to take the crown off. And could you imagine having that as the wrap-up of your 2015? Now, he didn't come out too bad. He was able to sign a three-year contract after that, and there was more buzz about the Miss Universe contest than in the last 30 years, so I think he came out okay. But sometimes in life, you just kind of need a reset, don't you? Things are going difficult, going hard. You're just wondering, what would it take to get a fresh start? Well, the next 5 weeks, we're going to talk about this fresh start idea, and we're looking at New Year's resolutions that people make. And the New Year's resolution this week is, I want to enjoy life to the fullest. Has that ever been one of your resolutions? Let not just survive the year, but I want to enjoy life to the fullest. It's one of the top five New Year's resolutions, and my thought is, I think we can do that. But I think we can only do that if we do it the Lord's way. And that's what we're going to look at today. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. That's what the Lord wants to give us, is abundant life. But if He wants to give us abundant life, why aren't we all living that? Have you ever asked that question? If God really does want you to have the abundant life, why aren't you living it? Maybe you're not successful enough. Could that be it? Maybe you haven't attained the fame that you should have attained. Maybe you're not making enough money. Maybe you're not popular enough. I just read an article in Sports Illustrated this last month on a guy that y'all might have heard of. Anybody heard of Michael Phelps? Okay, Michael Phelps, Olympic swimmer, has won more gold medals than anybody in the history of the Olympics. Has won more medals, period, 22, than anybody in the history of the Olympics. Won more medals in one Olympics, more gold medals in one Olympics than anybody else. I mean, if anybody is at the top of the food chain in sports, it would be Michael Phelps. And yet in this article, it shared how this past year, 2014, his life spiraled out of control. And kind of climaxed when he was pulled over for drunk driving again. And arrested. And it went on to share his story of how he had all this success, but basically had no purpose and didn't know what his life was all about. And in his own words, he said his parents were divorced when he was 9. And he had found a woman to love and had lost her as well. He had welcomed far too many sudden friends and had embraced the perks of affluence and celebrity more than what was healthy. He said, I look back now, says Phelps, and I lived in a bubble for a long time, and that bubble was a prison of sorts. Now think about it. Here's a guy that looks like, from the outside looking in, I mean, if you watch the Olympics like I did, and you see this guy wearing all these gold medals and standing there going, yes, you would think he's got it. If anybody's got it, he's got it. And what does Phelps say? I didn't have it. I didn't have it. Great story to go on and talk about how he was seeking help and trying to find the answers. But I could tell him, until you discover God, you'll always be looking for that next thing that is the answer. Because the Lord is the one that will give us that answer of why am I here. If you got your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis is the first book in the New Testament. If you don't have your Bibles, there's a burgundy Bible in the seat in front of you. You can pull that out. Genesis actually means beginning. It's the first book that we have. And so it's on page 3 of the Burgundy Bible. Could be on page 1 of yours. Now, it's interesting that this book was written at a time where people worshiped the sun. They worshiped the moon. They worshiped the stars. They worshiped cattle. They worshiped idols. And then this book was written to declare God's glory and how awesome and powerful He is. Now, I used to think Genesis 1 was just to answer the question, why am I here? But as I was looking at this message, I realized, I think God put this at the very beginning so that we could realize who God is and how worthy He is of praise and honor and glory. And how that's our responsibility, is to bring Him praise and honor and glory. So Genesis 1, if you want to read along with me, I'll be reading from New Living Translation. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And then He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, making the first day. Then God said, let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth. And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heavens. God called the space sky. And the evening passed and morning came, marking the second day. Now, we could go through and finish the whole chapter, but in this chapter, it's all describing the creation of the universe and how God created the universe. And what I would say to you today is that I believe with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength that God is the Creator and He is worthy of praise. And we're going to look at how we can find meaning and purpose in that today. So if you would go to the Lord with me in prayer and let's ask Him. Lord, in this room today, I know that there are a lot of people like I was when I was a young man with my doubts and not knowing You. And I pray today, Lord, that this message would just let them know that You are the Creator, that You are worthy of praise and honor, and that, God, You have all power. God, as we sing those songs of worship to You, I pray that they would just become real in our lives, that we would really give You glory for all things. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if you got your listening guide, go and pull that out. Got a program there. We put the little points in the program so you can follow along and you can pull it out later if you want to try to remember what we talked about. And in Genesis 1, the first thing I want you to see is that God is worthy of our worship and praise. God is worthy of our worship and praise. God created this world, and I believe creation declares His glory. I believe it screams it loud and proud. Let's look at some pictures of His awesome creation. Before we had the Hubble telescope and the more powerful ones, we couldn't see a solar flare. But this is what it looks like on the surface of the sun. Is that not awesome? Now, you can't get close enough to be there because you would instantly incinerate. But the beauty of it. Now, let's look at some of the nebulas in the universe here. This is the Horsehead Nebula. Don't know how they picked that name. Horsehead Nebula. But it's beautiful. Go on to the next one. This is the Carina Nebula. These are all things that we couldn't even see. You can't see from the naked eye. But they're all over the universe. Just part of the beauty God made. Now, if that's not enough to bring praise and glory to God, what about the creations that He made in the animals? Look at this magnificent stallion. We look at that animal and we realize, man, that's a beautiful animal. And the thing about the horse is the horse knows no fear. Horse will run right into battle, which is why they use the horse in battle. The horse is bold. He's strong. He can carry a man. We look at a horse and there's something about this stallion that we go, wow, that's a beautiful creation. And then you look at the next creation. Aww, isn't it cute? The kitten. Good for absolutely nothing. But oh, so cute. Now, I may have to check my man card at the door, but I got to confess, my daughters talked me into two cats a year ago, and I like them. I know. I've told myself all my life there's nothing to like about cats, but they sure are cuddly, aren't they? I don't know. Anyway, but God created the cat so we could have a pet. He also created something else so we could have pets. There you go. Naked mole rat. Kids, go ask your mom for one. Yeah, I think they sell them all like hotcakes at Petco because everybody wants to take one of them home and show off. Whew, that's ugly. But it's part of creation. All of creation has a purpose. What's next? This is where I really see the miracle. When you think of miracles, there it is. That's you. That's you. That's your 8-day photograph when you're 8 days old. Some of you never got any better looking. Okay, let's see next. This is 4 weeks. You're starting to grow a little bit. 8 weeks. Look at the eyeballs. You can see the arms and the legs forming. 16 weeks. Oh, there's the feet. Ready for kickball at 16 weeks. 19 weeks. Fingernails at 19 weeks. How cool is that? Fingernails at 19 weeks. 20 weeks, the skin and the hair start forming. I mean, the hair starts growing. And then at 24 weeks, the baby is a baby that's going to be coming out in a short time and being a child, a breathing on its own, eating on its own. Folks, you want to talk miracles. There's your miracle right there. I have people say to me all the time, I'll believe in God when I see a miracle. Have you never seen the birth of a child? If you haven't, you should go to the hospital and just ask. You just make it easier. Just YouTube it, okay? It's there. It's there. This is a miracle that God created. And in Genesis 1, He is declaring His own glory in this creation. In Genesis 1, He's telling us that He was the one that put the stars into place. He is the one that created the animals. And what a variety of animals we have. From the orangutan to the elephant, to the insect, the spider, to the ant, the cockroach. What in the world is the purpose of that one? I guess it's to clean up all the stuff that everybody else misses. And the beauty of creation is this. It is a love letter from God to say, I am here, I love you, I'm your designer. I have designed this world for a purpose, and I want you to enjoy it abundantly. Now, here's just a testimony of the goodness of God. He could have made it all where none of us could taste food. You ever been sick and you can't taste food? When people can't taste food, have you noticed they don't want to eat? There's no pleasure in it if you can't taste the food. But God gave us all taste buds so that you could tell the difference between plain white rice and chips and salsa. You know, the important things, right? Amen. You could tell the difference between plain water or soda. You could tell the difference between a good fat, juicy steak and a piece of white bread. God created us with a love for us that declares His glory. And the first thing I want you to see in your listening guide is that God is worthy of our worship and praise. We should come here with expectation of giving Him glory every Sunday morning for who He is. We should come here every Sunday morning ready to get our worship on and bring praise and glory to our King because of how awesome He is. Now, guys, let me tell you, I love a good car. I love going to car shows and looking at street rods and hot rods and Camaros and even a Mustang every now and then. And I was at a car show a couple months ago, and this fellow had built this 57 Chevy, had taken it, rebuilt it from the ground up. He had such detail in there that he had even fabricated his own air cleaner in the form of a Chevy bow tie. Now, for those men that appreciate cars, it's like, oh, yeah, right? Now, why do I tell you that? Because when I saw the craftsmanship in that vehicle, I went to him and I complimented him. And I said, man, you really looked, even to the detail, I said, that is a nice car you built. Now, here's the thing. God, who is the King of all kings, Lord of all lords, crafted this universe for you and I. He designed it in a way that we would look at it like I looked at that Chevy and go, wow, nice work, God. Good design. Good paint job. Love the way you painted that sunrise this morning, Lord. Nice handiwork. And we give glory to God for what He's done, for His might, for His power, for His awesomeness, because He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of our praise. Listen, as mankind, would you agree that we are the most intelligent and have the most information at our disposal today than we ever have? Would you agree with that? Through the internet, through science and studies. Man, I'm so grateful for science and all the information that's out there. We are so blessed today with a greater level of intelligence. I mean, when you go to the hospital, I mean, they can like take out your heart and put somebody else's heart in there. Isn't that amazing? Who would have thought 50 years ago you could have a heart transplant or a kidney transplant? You know, God even gave you two kidneys, so you can always donate one. See, there's a purpose, right? And how about this? I mean, all the miracles, I heard just recently that they had the first person, they transplanted a hand. They transplanted a real hand onto a new person for the first time ever. That's pretty crazy and miraculous, isn't it? But here's what's even more miraculous. God created all of this. It was nothing for Him to create a heart that connects to all these parts of our body that pumps blood throughout our whole body, that connects to a brain. I watched a special on the brain this week, and they're talking about how amazing the brain is because it can sense so many things at the same time, and how it works with the eyes. And it was talking about the miracle. This was a secular program. It was talking about the amazing ability of the eyes to read depth perception, something we take for granted. That you can look, I can look out in this room, and I can tell that some of you are close and some of you are far back. I can tell if a ball is coming at me, that I might be able to catch it, or if it's going to drop in front of me. Just some of the many things that God designed when He designed your body, and yet we have the arrogance in the world today to say that it was all just an accident. That this amazing body we have, and that this amazing world we live in was just an accident. That it was gases coming together in this murky, mucky thing that just exploded and made humankind and mankind and horses. And listen, I don't know about you. Did anybody else ever play with gasoline when you're a kid? Did anybody ever put fire to that and find it create anything? It always exploded whatever I played with. You know, it's like, here's what I'll tell you. You are as special as you are because there's a creator, a designer in this world. His name is God, and He designed you for a purpose and a plan. And when you learn part of that purpose and plan is worship, and you begin to worship Him, that is where you'll find the fulfillment. Not in worshiping yourself, not in succeeding financially, not in even having the best kids or the best grandparents or the most comfortable life. If you want to live life to the fullest, the first step is realizing that there is a God, and He created us, and He designed us, and He loves us. Well, the second thing is there are many different ways to worship God. Many different ways to worship God. Many times when we think of worship, we just think of the singing time at church. We just think when we come together and we sing songs, that is the act of worship. I hear people refer to it oftentimes as, oh, I love the worship time in the church. Truth is, everything that we do can be an act of worship to the Lord. Excuse me. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. And so whatever you do, if you're playing sports, you can do it to the glory of God. If you're driving a car, you can do it to the glory of God. At work, you can work to the glory of God. You can be a parent to the glory of God. All of those things that give glory to God is an act of worship. It's an act of worship to Him. Now, Sunday mornings, we come together for what we call corporate worship. And we sing these songs, and the heart of the band, listen, we are so blessed. I'll just tell you, if you don't know the band, the heart of this band is to bring glory to God. I mean, they're good. They're stinking good. I I'd never make the praise and worship team except maybe a little tambourine or something. But their heart isn't to come out here and perform for you. Their heart is to lead you into songs of worship before our King and our Master to bring Him glory. And as we sing, I just want to challenge you. Bring this gift to the Lord. The Lord says worship is a gift to Him. It's something we can give back to give Him glory and praise. And our song is one of those ways. Psalm 150. If you want to flip over there, it's take the middle of the Bible and just open it right there and you'll probably be close to it. Page 523 of the Burgundy Bible. This is one of the Psalms. Now, Psalms is kind of an eclectic collection of poems and songs that mostly were written by a man named David. And Psalm 150 is just a song of praise to the Lord. And he says, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heaven. Praise Him for His mighty works. Praise Him, His unequaled greatness. Praise Him with the blast of the ram's horn. Praise Him with the lyre and the harp. Praise Him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with strings and flutes. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that breathes sing praise to the Lord. There are many different ways to praise Him. The drums and the cymbals, the guitars, the lyres, the pianos, whatever it is, your voices are all called to bring praise to God. Because He is worthy of that praise. We had a baptism this first service. Another act of worship. Someone surrendering their life to the Lord. Lord's Supper, when we took it last week. Another act of worship to the Lord. Each week when you give sacrificially of your tithes and your offering, it's an act of worship to the Lord. We have these opportunities, these privileges to offer worship to the Creator that designed every one of us. But a third thing is worship is all about giving our lives as a sacrifice to God. Now, this is one of the craziest teachings in the Word of God, is the idea that you will find the greatest joy not when you try to keep your life and do all the stuff you want to do, but when you're willing to give your life away and do what God wants you to do. Now, it really doesn't make a lot of sense in our mind, does it? Because what makes sense in my mind is I will be the happiest when I'm getting everything I want all the time. But you find anybody that gets everything they want all the time, you'll find somebody who over a period of time will not be the happy person. Because there's something that God has put inside of us to serve others, to love others, to die to ourselves and put others before ourselves. God has hardwired in our DNA a need to worship God and a need to serve others around us. And when we discover that, that's when we begin to discover this joy. After first service, I had a lady come to me. She's like, Pastor, I just want to serve somewhere. Let me find a place. And you know, if you ever come tell me that, I'll introduce you to seven people. And we'll find plenty of places to plug you in. And I do believe that our service is an act of God as well. And it takes sacrifice. Romans 12:1 says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. So what's truly the way to worship Him? By giving our lives to Him as a sacrifice. Now, I'm going to ask you over the next 21 days to sacrifice. You ever heard of fasting? Everybody heard of the phrase fasting? I got a book here called God's Chosen Fast. Anybody want to read a book on fasting that you hadn't read? Anybody? Fasting? Okay. I want to hit you in the head with it. Can you hand that to her? I've thrown things from the stage before and knocked people out. So I've learned to try to hand things out as much as I can. Actually, I didn't knock him out. I just knocked his glasses off. It's okay. He recovered months later. We're looking at how we can live a life sacrifice. You should have a bright green sheet in your program. You got that bright green sheet? The next 21 days, we're going to go on an intense spiritual journey together, those that want to go with us. Okay? I'm not forcing everybody. Don't feel guilty if you don't feel led to do so. But I really want to challenge everybody to figure out to what level you want to jump in. And there's not a high level or low level. It's just at what point are you going to jump in? Now, for about 5 years now, we've been doing these 21 days of prayer and fasting. And for some, that 21 days was totally just a liquid fast. Where no meat, nothing solid. Others fasted different things. You could fast meat, you could fast desserts. I was talking to a couple as they were leaving today, and he was going to fast desserts because he said, I always need something sweet. And he said, I'm always reaching for something sweet. He said, so I'm going to fast desserts. And for her, what did she say? She was going to fast social media. She said, I'm on social media every night, and it's kind of how I wind up my day, and sometimes I spend a lot of time there. She said, so the next 21 days, I'm going to fast social media. And fasting actually means to refrain from food. But today in our culture, we're more addicted to social media and the internet and entertainment, I think, than we are food. And so you choose what it is, but here's what it looks like. Who is it? Everybody at the river is invited to participate. We'd love to have 100% participation. If this is your first time, it doesn't matter. You can still jump in and participate with us. What is it? A 21-day spiritual journey together as a church. We start today. We end in 3 weeks. Each person can participate as the Lord leads you to participate. When that fellow was telling me today he was going to fast desserts, that would be the easiest thing in the world for me. I don't have a sweet tooth. That's not a big deal. Fasting desserts would be like nothing. And for you in the same way, one of the things you're going to laugh at me, but I'm actually going to fast chips and salsa. Because I looked at it yesterday and I realized over the last 7 days I'd had chips and salsa every day. I just love chips and salsa. And so one of the things I'm going to fast is chips and salsa. Another thing, I'm going to be fasting breakfast every day for 21 days. Was it breakfast or lunch? Lunch, excuse me. I'm going to fast lunch every day. And then I'm going to challenge all of us to consider fasting at least one meal every Monday the next 3 weeks. Okay? At least one meal every Monday. Now, if you can't because of physical, we'll talk about some other options here. But then daily and fervently, when that time that you normally eat, replace that time with prayer, extra prayer. Okay, so if you normally just get 15 minutes for lunch and you're fasting, get you a bottle of water and go find a quiet place and pray for 15 minutes. If you get an hour, take a bottle of water, go pray for an hour, whatever it is. Now, the key to successful fasting is you fast before the Lord with the right motives. You're not doing this so that everybody can pat you on the back and say, oh, you are such a saint. You know, they had that problem in the New Testament where the religious people, they would put like ashes on their face and make themselves look really sad whenever they fasted. And people would feel sorry for them and think they're really religious. Nobody should know. You know, I mean, your family needs to know what you're fasting. You know, if your coworkers are there and every day you're not eating and they keep bugging you, don't make a big deal of it. When I first started fasting, I didn't know how to answer people. And they said, aren't you going to eat? And I'd say, no, no, no. And then they keep pestering you until it got to be this really big deal why you weren't eating. And then you're like, oh, I'm fasting. And then it was really awkward. I would just learn to say, no, I'm fasting today, but thank you. And just move on. Daily. So fast with the right motives. And then flip over to the back. 5 ways you can join us this time of prayer and fasting at the river. 1, you could fast one meal a day every day. So maybe it's breakfast, maybe lunch, maybe dinner. Or maybe you fast one day a week. For me, it's going to be Mondays. I'm going to fast breakfast and lunch on Mondays and spend extra time in that for the next 3 weeks. Or maybe you're going to fast a modified diet such as the Daniel diet, which is the Daniel fast is at the bottom. Just explains it just a little bit. It's more really just a vegetarian kind of diet. 4, maybe you deny yourself some worldly entertainment, such as TV, Facebook, Internet, YouTube, whatever. The average 18 to 35-year-old is spending 6 to 8 hours a day on social media. So, boy, you would get a lot of time with Jesus if you fasted that, young folks. 5, If you cannot fast food, choose a specific amount of extra time each day to spend in prayer. And then down below there are some things we can pray for. We can pray for our priorities to reset. We can pray for God to reveal any sin that we need to get rid of. We can pray for a spiritual revival in our country. And we can pray for 5 friends that we have to be saved and to follow Jesus. Those are just some things I'll be praying for. And I'm inviting you to join us. And then as you leave today, you'll get a 2016 devotional. Okay? And the first 21 days, our staff, actually for the whole month of January, our staff has written devotionals to go along with the 21 days of prayer and fasting. And then we're going to be reading through the New Testament 2 times this year. So in here, it breaks it down into the New Testament reading through twice. And it's broken down into what's called SOAP. Everybody know SOAP? You know, S-O-A-P? Well, there's a simple way to study the Bible called SOAP. S is what? Scripture. O is observation, what you observe about the Bible verses. A is application. What does it mean to you? And P is prayer. What are you going to pray about? And there's a place you can kind of journal in that book as well. And so I'll be honest, it's kind of bait and switch. I'm challenging you with the 21 days with the hope that you'll enjoy it enough that you'll want to spend time all year with the Lord in prayer and Bible study every day. That's my hope, is that we'll get you hooked on worshiping and giving your life over to the Lord. Well, the fourth thing, if you got your listening guys still there, fourth thing. True worship requires us to live differently than the world. Now, this is where it gets a little messy. I find that most people I talk to, in this part of the country at least, are spiritual people. Most people I talk to believe that there's a designer, a higher power or some, and that we should, when we're in trouble, pray to him. But we live in a day today where spirituality and morality are being separated, and it's being told to us that morality is not important to having faith in God. I was reading another article in a magazine. It was talking about Tim Tebow, who used to be a professional quarterback, and he was well known for his outspoken faith in Christ. And it was talking about how all these different editorialists and writers had made fun of him and mocked him because of his choice to wait until he's married. And it was interesting, this author pointed out the fact that these same authors had not criticized all these other athletes for choosing to live horrible lives, having multiple children by multiple women, passing around alcoholism and drug addiction and always wanting to give them a second chance. While at the same time, here's this guy who goes and visits people in the hospital, starts foundations to help special needs children, and yet they want to make fun of him because he's choosing to be abstinent until he marries. Oh, how our world has changed, hasn't it? But you need to know this. As you walk with God, your character is directly connected to your faith, according to Scripture. That we need to be conformed to the Lord and not to the things of the world. Look at Romans 12 one more time. Verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Good, pleasing, and perfect. That's what God has planned for you. But too many times, we're caught up in sin. So I'm going to challenge you for the next 21 days to give up sin. I want you to fast sin. Okay? Now, for some of you, you're going, well, Steve, shouldn't we do that every day? Yes, but it's hard. And sometimes it's easier if you go, okay, I'm going to attempt something for 21 days. So for 21 days, I want to challenge you to reject sin in your life as acceptable. Now, for some of you, immediately God brought something to your mind because you're struggling. Maybe you're struggling with an addiction to pornography. Maybe you're struggling with an addiction to alcohol. Maybe your temper is out of control and your anger is hindering your relationships in your family. Maybe the Lord brought to your mind a bitter relationship you're in right now that you're just being ugly, ugly, ugly about. And the Lord's telling you that's what you need to work on. I don't know. But here's my challenge. My challenge is for 21 days to commit to trying to reject all sin in your life. Now, you need to add to those big sins, gossip, slander, envy, lies, deceit, foul language, coarse joking, sexual immorality, dot, dot, dot. And what if you just decided for 21 days to choose to reject those? I had a guy a couple of years ago that went through this with us. And he wrote me a card. He said, I'm going to give up drinking for 21 days. And I heard later that the story was that he had battled alcoholism for a while. And he didn't think he could ever give it up forever. But he said, maybe if I can get 21 days behind me, that could be my fresh start. I want to give all of us a challenge for 21 days. Now, and here's the next step. Maybe it's not something you're addicted to. Maybe it's actually something good that you abuse. How about food? Oh, yeah, food is such a gift from the Lord. You know, God could have made everything taste like white bread. God could have made everything taste like cardboard. Have you ever been sick where you couldn't taste food? You ever been sick when you couldn't taste food? And it's almost a chore to eat, isn't it? It's like you're putting it in there and you can't taste anything. And it's like, oh, man, that's a bummer. And some of you may even have that condition in your life where you have no taste buds. And I'm sorry for you because, I know that is a challenge. But let me say this. God loved us enough that he created taste buds. And he gives us that flavor. And yet, at the same time, we can take something good God has given us and we can let it control us, can't we? Food control anybody sometimes? Yeah. Materialism control anybody sometimes? Yeah. Anger control anybody sometimes? Sometimes things can control us and God wants to set us free. How about sports? Men, let's get real. Do you spend more time watching the playoffs or do you spend more time with your family? Shopping. Hobbies. Nothing wrong with having hobbies. Unless they control us and become our gods. And so I want to challenge you the next 21 days to replace those things that you're going to get rid of. Replace them with spending time in the Word and in prayer for the next 21 days until the Lord begins to give you victory over those things. And then at the end of 21 days, I hope you'll get hooked on it and you'll just keep going. The last thing, the Creator of the universe gives us purpose in His love. The Creator of the universe gives us purpose. If you're wondering, why am I here? How do I have the abundant life? Let me tell you how to have the abundant life. You have the abundant life by finding your purpose in God. By realizing that the Creator of the universe knows the very number of hairs on your head. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Ephesians 1, 4 and 5. It's in your Bibles or it's on the screen here. It says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do. And it gave him great pleasure. It gave God great pleasure to adopt you into his family. When? When you were good enough. Is that what it says? When did God adopt you? When you became nice? God's plan was from the beginning of time, before you were even born. When you look like that little bubble of mud on that first picture, God already had a plan and a purpose for your life to love you. That is the love of God. From the beginning of time, He chose you. from the beginning of time, He's loved you. The question is, will you choose God? Will you choose a relationship with Him? He's already chosen you. As one pastor said, I heard him say, he said, He's already got your picture on His refrigerator. The question is, will you follow Him? It says He predestined us to be adopted as His children. How cool is that? He's prepared in advance. Do you know Him today? Do you realize how significant it is the Creator of the universe knows you? Did anybody, when you walk in the door today, see the dot of blue ink on the drum set today? Did you notice that? Did you notice right over here? I bet you just jump out at you now that I pointed out. See right there? See that little dot? Everybody, you can't see it, can you? Because it's just a little dot. I graffitied. I took a blue river ink pen. I just put a little dot on the drum case. And the reason I did that was so insignificant. When everybody walked in the room, nobody noticed it. Matter of fact, I could put all of you and have you all walk through the stage and tell you, hey, tell me what you noticed. And I bet not one of you would have noticed that little speck, because it's so small in comparison to this whole room and all the people in here. Here's what you need to know. There are multiple galaxies in the universe. There are multiple planets and solar systems and all of that that God has created. And yet before the beginning of time, God knew you and He predestined you to be a part of His family. How awesome is that? That He loves you that much. I'm going to ask you to bow your head with me. Some of you are here today and you have yet to know His love. Maybe you believe in God and believe in Him as Creator, but you have yet to bow your knee and say, I want God to be first place. I want to trust Him as my Father, and I want to be His child. Today, if you want to be adopted into His family, I want to give you an opportunity to pray and tell Him that. There's no magical prayer. That's not what I'm suggesting. What I'm suggesting is that if you'll connect your heart to His heart right now, and you'll sacrifice your life to Him, giving Him your whole will and your whole heart, He will come in and send His Holy Spirit inside of you. And He will give you His love and His direction and His purpose. If you're here and you've never done that, I invite you right now to pray a prayer to the Lord and to yourself, following after me now. Dear Lord, today I want to give You my life. Today I want to give all of it to You. Please forgive me for my choices in the past. I ask that Jesus would wash away all of my sins, and I trust Him to save my soul. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.